Coach, how are we doing today?
Okay, Glenn, Steve, Michael, how are you guys doing?
Bill, doing all right.
Nice win yesterday. You've had an opportunity, obviously, to look a lot at the film yesterday. You talked about at the end of the game, you saw improvement. Where did you see improvement, and did you see it in the secondary yesterday?
Well, yeah, at least we didn't, we didn't have the six balls thrown over our head like we did in the Seattle game. That's a start. Big thing was we finished the game. We made plays, offensive drive, big field goal, another offensive drive, big field goal, defensive stop, really two defensive stops because we held them to the field goal when they got the ball there after at the end of the game, at the end of regulation, and got the ball back for the offense. We still had a timeout to work with, so some of our situational play was better. Our third down offensively, no turnovers, even though we had a ball out, but our red area play defensively, I think our overall situational play was better. I mean, certainly there's a lot of things that we can improve on and do better. I'm not saying that, but there was definitely some positives, and we made more plays than the Jets did, put it that way.
We hear a lot of terminology in football, and we talk a lot about schemes, but you just mentioned six balls thrown over your head. Is the message to the team, forget about strategy, just don't let them throw the ball over your head? Was it as simple as that during the week of practice?
Well, I mean, that's always a point of emphasis. I mean, we never want to give it all up in one play. That's obvious. And the fact that yesterday we had two big red area stops because they didn't get it all in one play, even though they were trying to throw some shots up there. We made a drive through the red area. We were able to get the stops. We came real close to blocking one of those field goals. So that's certainly one way to keep the points down is to not give it up in one big shot, to make them drive it and make them earn it. And sometimes they earn it. Sometimes we stop them. So, one red area stop and our ability to get the ball in the red area offensively, those ended up being big plays in the game.
How did...
Turn your mic on, son.
It's on.
Come on. You want a future in radio. You got to turn the mic
on.
Got to turn that thing on.
It's on.
There you go.
No, sorry. How did Devin McCourty look when he was playing the safety position?
Good. I thought Devin did a good job. He made a real couple of real solid tackles in the running game. They tried to throw one up on him, and he was back there with Arrington over the top of it. Mm-hmm. Again, there's always things that can be improved on, but I thought he played a real solid game for us, tackling, run force, defending the deep part of the field. He showed good range back there. For somebody who hadn't been doing it all year, just a couple of days of practice, I thought he really solidified that part of the field for us, and that was good.
I know you always talk about every year is different personnel, and we see you do different things, and obviously you game plan from week to week. But is there a more concerted effort to run the ball? And I know we talked about this earlier in the year about five and six DBs, but would it have something to do with maybe a bigger game plan and that you look it out and extend out the entire season and think of what you need to do so you're never one-dimensional? Because there just seems to be more of an effort right now toward running that football, making sure that you stay with that run.
Well, I would say the big thing in the running game and the passing game is we still want to try to get plays that are advantageous to us. I mean, we don't want to run a play just to say, okay, well, we ran it or we threw it, and we have no chance on the play. You know, it's just a bad play into that. They got too many people, or they have us out-leveraged, or whatever it is. I don't really see the point in that. So, okay, well, we ran it, but we have no chance to gain anything on the play. Well, what does that really accomplish? So, as long as we feel like we have a fair fight, we can, we have enough numbers or enough leverage or enough space to work in whatever the type play is, then it's great to be balanced, and it's great to be able to spread things around and get the ball to different people and all that. But when you're doing it just to say we're doing it and it's not really much of an opportunity there, then I don't really subscribe to that philosophy.
You've been in a number of overtime games in your career as a coach, obviously, but yesterday was the first time in a regular season that we have these new overtime rules in place.
Right.
At any point, whether you were on offense or defending your three-point lead, did you have a different thought? Well, wait a minute, we can't be in this coverage because if they get a touchdown, they win it. Or maybe we think about taking a shot here because we can win it here. Did those thoughts cross your mind with this new overtime setup yesterday?
Yeah, well, definitely, sure. After we kicked the field goal, Then we, when we went back out on the field, I mean, the first thing we reminded all of our the players, but reminded ourselves, is everything's four downs now. There's no punt. So third down is really second down, if you will. Third and fourth down is really third down. I mean, in terms of thinking about your calls and so forth. So that's why when on the last possession the Jets had, that those second and third down plays were really kind of like first and second down plays, and we knew that they would go for it on fourth down because of the situation they were in, and that's different than what it would be the rest of the game, basically. Yeah, I'd say definitely a thought process call changes a little bit. Your play call might change a little bit depending on that. And on offensively, we knew that if we scored a touchdown, we could end the game, although we never really got close enough for that situation. You know, we were just trying to get first downs, get into field goal range, which we did. We were trying to pick up first downs at that point as opposed to really trying to get close enough to score. And but had we done that, then for example, if you get into, say, it was a fourth and you get into a fourth and one or fourth and two, and the ball's in the 15, 20, 10 yard line, touchdown ends it, field goal doesn't end it, they have another possession. You know, do you think you can make that one play to get the touchdown? Is it worth the risk? Is it, you know, it changes your mindset completely from what it was in the past, where you just kick the field goal and win the game. That was it.
You know, there's been so much debate.
And I think that's the same thing defensively too, because watching the Jets play, once we got into field goal range, I think they were trying to keep us from getting in the end zone. You know, and it wasn't a, well, we got to keep them from kicking a field goal. It was, well, we got to keep them from scoring a touchdown. And that was a lot different than in the old rules, where you're trying to do everything you can to push them back and make it a long field goal. Whereas, you know, here the field goal doesn't beat you.
I was going to say, there's so much debate about this system before it came into place. You know, people had ideas on maybe overtime should be this or they should do it this way. Do you think this is the... is this the fairest system? Is this the right one?
Well, I don't like it, no.
You don't like it the way it is now?
No, because I think the best part of the football game is the end of the game. You know, whether you take your timeouts, how you manage the game, the last 2 minutes of the game, getting the ball back, trying to keep the ball away from the other team, whatever it is, I think that combines all the elements of football, strategy and all the hitting, the skill, and the strategy of the game. It all comes to play at the end of the game or the end of the half. When it's the first team to score, or you know, however the rules are set, or the way it is in college, give the ball on 25-yard line, you score, we score, that kind of thing. You know, that's not the end of the game. It's like basketball. You go and you play a basketball game, comes down to the end of regulation, you're making three-point shots, you're fouling, you're pressing, you're trying to get the ball back. Okay, great, now you're in overtime. Well, it's the same thing. You get that same strategic element at the end of a basketball game. If you're behind, you're fouling, you're taking three-point shots. If you're ahead, you're working the clock. But that's an important strategy part of the game. Well, in football, we've lost that with the rules that we have now, and what the rules are in college have lost that too. So if that's something we want to take away from the game, then we've taken it away. We've added something else if that's better. Maybe some people think it is. I personally like the end of the game strategy that football has. I think it's one of the greatest parts of the game, and I hate to see that given up for a different set of rules in overtime, first team to score. You know, we all know what the rules are, but it's not the end of the game strategy like you have in basketball, where you play the clock out. And we don't really play the clock out. We're playing for possessions and, you know, which scores count the most and all that.
So would you rather see an extended period, just one extra period? As opposed to a flip of the coin and one team get the ball at sudden death?
Oh, put some time on the clock and play.
Not sudden death.
10, 15 minutes, whatever?
Well, yeah, play to the end of the game. Yeah, play. Yeah, put 10 minutes on it. You know, whatever we decide. 8 minutes, 10 minutes. But whatever it is, it is. And however many timeouts you want to have with that, whatever the, you know, the fair formula is. But, you know, the games are going to go on a certain amount of time anyway, whatever the average is. In overtime, whether the average game is 6 minutes, 8 minutes, 9 minutes, you know, I don't know, whatever it averages out to be. So if we want to play that amount of time, you know, if one team can control the ball for that whole amount of time, then so be it. If they can't, then even if they score, it doesn't mean that it's over. The other team can come back. They could go for two. They could, you know, you play the game out. I think that's a great strategy in the game, going for two and, you know, being able to use your timeouts and or control the ball and not give the other let the other team have the ball back, and you know, all those kind of things. I mean, That's a great part of football. I love that. We all do. End of the half, end of the game. I mean, it's that adds, you know, a lot of thinking as, along with all the skill and contact that comes with the sport. It all comes together in that one end of the game scenario, and there's so many different options and strategies that makes it so exciting.
Well, the college game is crazy where you have a low scoring game and then you watch them go back and forth and it's a 35-30 game or something like that.
Or more. Just, or higher.
Yeah. That's just it's crazy.
When you look at a game like that and you see it going back and forth, that fourth quarter you entered with a 10-point lead, I believe it was, and going into the fourth quarter. We've seen this a couple times this year. Is there any one thing you're looking at that tends to break down that allows those teams back in the game? Is it just a funk that you're in? And if that's the case, does a game like this snap you out of that or bring you back to where you want to be?
Well, we've looked at all the games, and when you put the Jets game in there, I think each game has played out a little bit differently. So this one... It had its elements. I don't think they were the same as the other games, mm-hmm. but the result was the same. It went from being a 10-point lead to a 3-point deficit. But the things that happened in the game, you know, a long drive, an offensive pass interference call, a fumbled kickoff return, a 2-minute drive. I mean, it was just a different, you know, it was a different set of circumstances. So I don't think you can look at it and say, well, it's the exact same things happened 4 games in a row. We can't let this happen again. I don't really think that's the way it's played out. And so, just as we said, situational football is, each game is so unique, and you work on situations all week, you talk about them all week, but there's 1,000 of them, and 5 or 6 come up, and the other 900 and whatever don't, but it's the ones that do that. If you can do them well, you win, and if you don't do them well, then you're probably going to lose because the game's been now reduced after 56, 57, 58, 59 minutes has now been reduced to a handful of plays or maybe one play. And what can you do on that one play? And so it truly becomes situational football, and you try to prepare for all those situations, but those they don't keep repeating. Sometimes they do, but you can't count on it. A lot of times it's a new situation. So that's... Glad we won. Glad we did the things that we needed to do to win. Would we have liked to stay out of that situation and won by 17 points? Sure, but that's the NFL. I mean, it seems like there's a lot of close games in the National Football League. There's a lot of good teams, good coaches, good players. And in the end, it's usually pretty close.
So look, I was trying to educate Glenn earlier, which is a very difficult task.
Tough.
But, you know, you've played them since you've been here. You played the Jets 27 times. An average score is 24-17. You win. I mean, 24-17 Patriots. So I'm sure you go in, you want to, and that includes a couple of blowouts that you've had over them, but you probably go in thinking, sure, we'd love to win by 20, but you go in expecting a one-score game because on average, that's pretty much what it's been.
Well, I think you do that every week. I think every week you have to be ready for a tight game at the end. Do we have to get the ball back? Are we trying to conserve time? Are we trying to expend time? Are we trying to make first downs? Are we trying to score points? Are we trying to keep them from scoring points? Are we trying to get the ball back? Onside kick, hands team, all that, you know, all that stuff. Whatever it is, you have to be ready for all of it. And that all comes up in close games. So being able to, again, execute in those key situations is key. Those 27 games, how do we do against the Jets?
How'd you do against it? With the wins and losses?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That wasn't important to
that's
him.
That's not important.
I don't really care about that.
Not okay. Important.
Don't care. See? I'm just doing average score.
Oh, I can do that. Sure. That's easy. I'll have that before the end of the show.
But
before the end of this interview.
We get this question all the time on the fact that you've given up a lot of passing yardage to this point. Yesterday it looked like you were rushing 4 and you had Mayo off the center. And people constantly say, well, if you put more of a pass rush, won't that force the quarterback to hasten the process? And then you're not going to get the space on the receivers that you get from the DBs. Can you kind of explain the delicate process there of the balance of having enough guys back in coverage versus the rush and how you formulate it?
Well, I think you pretty much boiled it down. It's a numbers game. So you got 11 guys, you rush 4 and put 7 in coverage, you rush 5 and put 6 in coverage, you rush 6 and put 5 in coverage. It's 5 eligible receivers. So there's pluses and minuses to doing all the above, and you just have to, depending on the team you're playing, their style of play, your matchups, the formations and type of plays that they're running, some things are better than others, and the type of team you are, what you're good at, what you've practiced, what you feel comfortable doing, that all plays into it. So I don't think there's any right or wrong answer. And certainly when something doesn't work, it's always easy to talk about something else. So, and those are your two options. You can either change what you're doing or continue to do what you're doing and try to do it better. So those are your options. And I think there's a place for both in there too.
Did you change anything up on the strip sack at the end defensively?
No. I think, you know, Jermaine made the play. He got inside of Moore. He'd been rushing Moore outside. He went inside of him, broke the pocket, got a hold of Sanchez's feet, kind of made him pull the ball down, and it looked like Sanchez couldn't really get it tucked away by the time Rob ran a corner on Howard, and as Rob did in the Denver game and in the Buffalo game. He had great ball awareness as well as making the tackle on the quarterback. He was able to contact the ball and knock it out. And he's made a lot of those plays. He's done it. It seems like last three of the last four games he's done that. So very alert play on his part to not only knock it out but then also recover it and make the play. So it was good team defense, good coverage. Quarterback held the ball. Jermaine got a hold of his ankles. Rob finished the play. So it was good team defense.
18-9. Not bad, huh? 18-9.
I was wondering why you had the calculator out.
Well, no, abacus. What's going on?
Thank you.
So time now for the coach's question of the week. Just time now for that. Okay. Brought to you by your local Mercedes-Benz dealers and the complete lineup of 2013 models on the web at mbusa.com. This week's question comes from Joe in Providence. Joe wants to know how you developed your love for lacrosse, and do you see yourself coaching it one day?
Well, Joe, first of all, I have coached lacrosse. I coached lacrosse when I was with the Lions at Detroit. I coached lacrosse in New York when I was with that other team.
The 18-9? You're 18-9 against?
And I've coached it here in New England when my kids played at lower levels, but not the high school level, but league teams and town teams, things like that. So I've enjoyed lacrosse. I've enjoyed coaching lacrosse. And in Annapolis, lacrosse is big. Lacrosse is Maryland and Long Island are kind of two real breeding grounds. Lacrosse, much more so than baseball. So in the spring, you play lacrosse. It's football, basketball, and lacrosse instead of football, basketball, baseball. And so I played lacrosse at a young age, and I've always enjoyed the sport. And I have enjoyed the opportunities that I've had to coach it. So,
and you didn't, and you didn't scare those kids—not your sons, but you didn't scare those other kids. Bill Belichick coming in here to coach our youth lacrosse team. No,
A lot of times when we get in the car and come home, Brian or Steven would say to me, Dad, you're the only coach out there that yells at the other kids.
Some things never change.
Yeah. Old habits die hard.
I guess so. Did you ever see film of Jim Brown playing it? I mean, did you?
I have some highlight clips on him. And actually, I went to one of Jim, and I was very young. I was maybe six, but I went to one of Jim's games.
You remember watching him play?
Yeah.
And was it just, I can imagine it was just kind of frightening to see him out there.
I mean, Jim's 6'3", 235. I mean, in those days, lacrosse players are 160, 170, 180. I mean, he was bigger, faster, stronger than them, and he had great stick work. And of course, Jim grew up in Manhasset, and was an accomplished lacrosse player in high school as well as at Syracuse. And with his physical talent plus his background, because again, back in those days, in the 50s and 60s, a lot of players that were great lacrosse players didn't play lacrosse until they got to college. Navy won those national championships through the 60s. I think they won six or seven of them. And over half their team had never played lacrosse when they got to the Naval Academy. Now, that's all changing in lacrosse now. Mm-hmm. Certainly the youth and the high school programs are much more advanced than that. But there was a time when a lot of the All-American teams were, half of them, guys just picked up a stick when they got to college. So. But Jim wasn't in that category. Jim was was an outstanding player in high school as well as college.
I can
imagine. He also was a great track athlete at Manhasset. So he was really a four four sport guy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
The Coach's Hour is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz and EMD Millipore.
And by SBLI, the no-nonsense life insurance company, now offering new low rates for men and women. Call 888-GET-SBLI or visit SBLI.com.
And by, oh, I'm sorry, that was my turn.
No, no, it's not by you. Your turn. Enjoy the trip over at London. Good luck against St. Louis. The Queen stopping by? No special planes or anything?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Just try to go over there and get a win in Wembley.
There you go. We'll do it on Tuesday next week. Tuesday, I guess we'll do it next week. We'll see you then, Bill.
Sounds good.
Congratulations.
Okay, thanks, Glenn. Steve, thanks. Thanks,
Coach.
Quick break, right back at you here with the Wine Line.